morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
That is the radio station.
Yeah, that is the radio station that we are on.
Wow.
And we are on every Wednesday, rain or shine.
Because it doesn't really matter, like, unless the radio station is gone, right?
Or has a leak in the roof. Okay. I guess we won't show up then. Well, I'd come with an umbrella.
Okay.
So yeah, we talk about video games on this here show, and we play a lot of them, and we collect a lot of them, and we love a lot of video games.
Yes. Yeah. Love. It's like it is. I love video games, but I also hate them.
It's sort of a.
It is a love-hate relationship.
It is a love-hate relationship, because sometimes you'll get some really, really good games, sometimes you'll get some really, really bad games, and sometimes the gaming industry does things to make people angry or sad.
Mostly sad.
Yeah. So, I finally went and bought one of the games I'd been keeping an eye on for a while. It's on sale on the PlayStation Network right now, and that is Children of Morta.
Yeah.
So, Children of Morta was a Kickstarter game. Done by Dead Mage Studios.
Oh, that's a good name.
It is a very good name. And it is a roguelite RPG.
Yeah, it's really, like, I think the big draw to this game, like, it looks beautiful is one of the things.
It is an incredibly beautiful game done mostly in pixel art.
Yeah, and you get a large cast or a large variety of characters to choose from, and each have sort of a different play style. But then also they're purely different characters. Like, I think it's a family, right?
So the whole family is called the Bergsons.
Yeah.
These are the people that you're playing with.
And I like that it's a story as well. Like, it's quite a lengthy kind of story involved with all of the characters, because there's, like, well, how many? At least 8, right? Like, there's quite a few playable characters.
4 children. The dad, mom, an uncle, and a grandma, so far as I've met so far.
So, yeah, 8.
And you start off with the oldest daughter, and you start off with the father named Kevin.
Okay.
I should remember the daughter's name, but mostly I've been
Kevin
playing.
Kevin is more of that's kind of a name that I don't feel is that much in video games often. Well,
there's like Mark, Kevin, Margaret, Mary. They're like very... names.
Yeah, they're not like
They're not fantasy names, despite the fact that this is very much in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
So you, as the Bergson family, are in charge of protecting and looking over Mount Morta. Your whole thing is to make sure that there is no corruption in the world coming from Mount Morta, and the whole beginning is corruption is coming from Mount Morta. So it's your job to figure out why this is happening and to find the ways of sealing away this corruption for once and for all, if you can.
Yeah.
So you start off with, like I said, the eldest daughter and the father. The daughter is an archer. She can shoot things from a distance. And the father fights with a big old sword. And he is much easier to play with for the first bit.
And the daughter does what? She fights with
a bow and arrow.
Oh, okay.
So she is an archer. She's good at distance stuff, but you get very easily overwhelmed by enemies in this game.
Yeah, well, it's a roguelike, and they're just sort of like randomly spawning, right? I would assume, like, it's randomly generated levels.
Yeah,
right?
So you will find yourself easily overwhelmed, but their characters can't actually die. Some blessing that they get from their goddess, Rhea Dana, is bestowed upon them, so anytime that they die or are close to death, they will go back to their home and you can start again with all your money.
That's nice. Yeah. What do you lose, though? Obviously, you're going to lose stuff.
A lot of the items that you find in the dungeon don't stay with you, so you have to go and either find different ones or find them again when you go back into the dungeon.
Okay.
It's a good challenge. I'm so close to beating the first boss. you do level up as you go along. This is the RPG side of things, so you will eventually get experience points and be able to upgrade your battle stuff, upgrade your stats,
and
your armor,
and
speed.
That. Yeah.
That stuff you get to keep, yes. You don't start right at level one again.
Every time, though.
So that's the fun thing about this, is that every time I'm going in, I'm coming back stronger.
Yeah,
and
that's the best part of those.
Yeah, getting easier and easier as I go along. It's not like Hollow Knight, where you can lose all your souls and... your stuff. Or
you don't lose your charms or anything.
No.
Like, there's not that much to lose in Hollow Knight.
No.
But
or
money.
Money. You actually do get to keep a large chunk of your money, and you have the choice of going back early with a lot of your stuff.
Your stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's okay.
Not a lot of your dungeon upgrades. Those stay in there, but there are certain things that do get to stay with you.
Well, yeah. That would make sense, though.
And I've now got a third character, which is the eldest son.
Okay.
No, second eldest son.
Not Kevin.
He fights with a couple of daggers.
Okay.
So he's still kind of a weak boy right now. So.
Yeah. Well, do they all level up? Like, do they all keep the same level up, or do you have to individually level up?
You have to individually level them up.
So it will be sort of like you have a favorite that you will sort of go through probably the whole game with.
And some of the upgrades that you get will extend to the whole family. So if you have enough money, you can up their armor for everybody. You can up the health for everybody.
That's pretty good.
It's just their individual skills.
Yeah.
You need to do that yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have to grind that way.
Yeah.
I will say, do you think there will be a benefit to like leveling up all of the characters? Like, some games do this where you have your characters and then sometimes they split them all up and make you use the characters you've never touched ever.
I haven't gotten that far to see if that's going to be a factor yet, but I don't think it's going to be. It's just sort of what your preferred playstyle is. Like, if you're a range fighter, you kind of want that. If you are someone who likes to be sneaky and fast, then you may want to go with the little boy with the two knives. And
yeah, that's actually a good point. I think a lot of roguelikes sort of do this, right? Like Crypt of the Necrodancer lets you have a variety of different classes. So does Binding of Isaac. Like they're different. I don't know. They're different. I would say with Binding of Isaac, though, they make it harder. I guess Necrodancer does that a little bit, but they try to give you a variety, right?
Right. So, and I think there's different cutscenes that do trigger depending on who's in there. So, I went in with the little boy, and I ended up leaving with a wolf puppy. And I'm not sure if that would have been the same thing if I'd gone in with the dad.
Mm.
So, I ended up with a dog for the family, essentially.
Yeah, I feel that the dog, like, that might be a thing that maybe anybody can do, but it might change depending on who you go with.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that I am always interested in, like, what content will you miss out in or what content will you have to replay to get the whole story? And I'm wondering if they have that. I don't know. Maybe they won't, because with a roguelike, you're already replaying it, like, multiple times, right?
Right.
That is a game you are already in the process of replaying as you play it.
And another really cool thing about this game, and I'm really excited because now I can make you play with me. It does have a two-player option where you can join in and fight in this dungeon with me.
Oh, okay. I was like, and fight against you. I'm like, no. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight.
So we can, because we start off with two characters, you can start off with those two characters fighting with like a range style and one who's got the brute strength, the tank, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So later on this week, I would love for us to give this a try and see how well it works multiplayer style.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is only local co-op? Like, is there an online one?
There's no online. I haven't found any semblance of online.
Well, I'm just wondering because this is also a Steam game, so I would assume there is Steam multiplayer, like you would be able to play with a friend who's not like sitting next to you on the couch.
But no, this one gives you a chance to press the start button and join me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, Children of Morta, it is on sale for about $20 right now. I am having a lot of fun with it. It is a very cool looking game. The music is nice.
It's a pretty recent game, too. It's like, it came out, I guess,
2019, late 2019.
Yeah, it was like either November or December. Like, it came out recently.
So it is worth a check out. And yeah, and you started playing a game too.
Yeah. I started playing Resident Evil 6, which I've said before is my favorite Resident Evil. And as I'm playing, it is proving to still be my favorite Resident Evil. It's not scary at all, which is great for me because I'm a big weenie. I can't handle it. One thing I just found out, which is kind of surprising, is that it is the third best-selling Capcom game, which is interesting because I do believe this is one of the worst rated... it's definitely one of the worst rated Resident Evils in, like, the sequence of numbered Resident Evils. Like, we can exclude a bunch of the, like, extra side ones because some of them are just very bad. And they just slapped Resident Evil on it because Resident Evil maybe sells sometimes.
Were they the first two best-selling Capcom games, does it say?
Yeah, Resident Evil 5 and Monster Hunter World. Monster Hunter World makes sense. Resident Evil 5 doesn't make sense. But I want to say it's not Resident Evil 7 just for the fact that I think lots of people were put off by the first-person point of view. I don't know. Like,
it's that also really, really scary. Like, this was sort of their answer to PT, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was definitely inspired by that. Like, everybody was inspired by PT, and then when PT was never going to be ever made, they were like, well, let's
fill this void that's left here.
I will say Resident Evil 7 was a fantastic, smart departure because, once again, people hated Resident Evil 6. Not me, because I have bad taste in certain video games. Great taste in other things, but, you know. And, of course, so Resident Evil 6 takes place, obviously, after Resident Evil 5. It's a weird one. It is definitely way more of an action adventure game. There are so many quick time events. I've done so many quick time events already. I've gotten a good chunk of the way. Well, not a good chunk, but it is not as hard of a game as I thought it was. I'm also playing on the easy version because I'm a baby, but it's just in general, it is kind of a game that you can just go through. I think if you enjoy it, like me, it's probably because you enjoy the characters. And they have some really good character interactions with this, and they specifically have done, it is kind of a two-player game. Like, you can play with someone online, or you can play with somebody local co-op. And that's how I played it initially the first time. And we actually started with the very last characters, technically, because at the time you couldn't play the Ada campaign. That was locked. That's a, you know, Ada's obviously there. But this has basically a cast of about, technically seven different characters that are important, but six that are you're initially allowed to play, which are...
That's a lot of characters.
Yeah, it is. Leon and Helena, who they have their own mission. Leon Kennedy, obviously, Resident Evil 2, 4... he's in multiple movies, some of which he's not looked great, some of which he's looked pretty good. And then there is also Chris Redfield and a new character named Jake Mueller. I honestly get them confused because they look very similar, and they're in this. They are a part of some, like, it's BSAA, which biosecurity something something. I'm sure that's something what it stands for. They're fighting against Umbrella, as everyone is. That's the main thing. This Umbrella is bad. They're trying to do bad things, and the other people are trying to stop them. That's basically a Resident Evil game. Sometimes there's zombies. In this one, there's a lot less zombies, a lot more people that you are killing. So that's probably also why people were like, what?
This is not really a zombie fighting game so much as it is a occasional undead participant game.
Yeah, there's some, like, I haven't found a real zombie yet. Well, okay, technically in the first, you have to go through real zombies. But once you go through your first Leon and Helena scene, you get to choose who you want to be. And the last two characters, who are the ones that I like to play as, are Jake and Sherry. And Jake is Wesker's son, which is, like, one of my favorite, like, I feel it's just kind of a ridiculous thing to add in. They're just like, what else can we have? Because now Wesker's super dead. We killed him off for real this time, hopefully. Maybe. But let's just have his son. And I will say Jake knows nothing of Wesker at this point or in this game. Like, he doesn't know who Wesker is, or he doesn't know he's a special boy. And then Sherry Birkin is also from Resident Evil 2, and she's all grown up, and she gets a gun and everything. And she is some kind of agent for the United States, and their story is basically she's trying to get Jake to take him back because he has special blood, and they're trying to stop, you know, Umbrella from doing bad things, as all Resident Evil games go.
Every time we talk about Resident Evil, I just think it's a straightforward game at first about zombies, and then it gets more and more convoluted.
This one is...
I'm like, this is the soap opera I think I wish I played.
It's pretty, and the one thing that I do like about this, and this is maybe how it goes for most of my quote-unquote bad game likes, is they have great characterizations. Like, the characters in this are really enjoyable. Sherry and Jake's interactions are hilarious, and one of the only, like, hetero video game couples I'm actually into, like, plane. It's fun, it's cute, and they like there's good chemistry. And like I'm gonna say that I've never actually played the Chris and Jake one because it's I think it's just well and I've seen it, but it's just mostly you shoot. There's not a lot of zombies because they're war boys, and Chris is just he's got a really thick and chunked out, and he's kind of sad, and he's kind of the most unenjoyable version of Chris in the series.
Big and sad.
Big and sad. And once again, I get him mixed up with the other, with Jake. Like, I didn't even remember his name was Jake. Jake oh, no, wait, Redfield. It's not Jake. Jake's
Chris
the
Lester.
One I, Chris, Jake. Oh, it's Piers. Right.
Brosnan?
No, Piers.
That was a
See,
bad joke.
I don't even remember his name because he's just the other Chris. They look very similar. They have very similar. The only kind of difference is Chris sort of has like the 5 o'clock shadow because he's sad. Once again, sad and big.
Big, sad, and shadowy.
Yeah. And of course, in this game, we also have Ada Wong from Resident Evil 2 and 4. Maybe she's been in other ones. I don't know. Ada Wong is also a great character. In this, they have a really big, weird twist, and it's not great. I guess I'll say spoilers for now, but Ada has a sister who is like looks exactly like her. I feel her name is like Stella or something. But yeah, and that's like a big plot point and obviously a twisty-wisty, but I don't know if it was necessary at all. It was weird. I just started the game. I will say I don't know if I've already messed it up, if my game has already like messed up on me, because I've gotten to a point like it's the point where you are sort of trapped in this facility and you don't have any weapons except a stun gun and you have to hide somewhere and then watch some guy put in a password. But everybody keeps on attacking me and I don't know how to hide without them coming. They know where I am. And then one guy mutates into a big monster that I cannot kill because I have a stun gun.
Well, I'm sure we could find, like, is it a randomly generated password for that particular game?
I wonder. I hope it's not. Like, that was the next thing. I'm like, I'm just going to look up the password. Because I don't know if it's randomly generated. It very well could be because there are 6 different patterns. Who knows? I hope it's not because I'm not, I don't like that. But once again, I like the combat. It's pretty fun melee. Like, it's very much... I would say it's the most un-Resident Evil Resident Evil game. Like, there are some Resident Evil games that are just, like, shooters, first-person shooters that aren't even... There's zombies, but it's more like no survival horror. Like, there's little to no survival horror in this. It is mostly quick-time events. Like, the times I've died, it's from quick-time events. Or because I didn't run away from something fast enough because I wasn't paying attention. And I was like, oh, I have to run now? Okay, well... Oh, he killed me. Oh,
I would not do very well with this.
Well, and the other time, so obviously you are with a companion at all times. You have an AI companion or another person companion.
Oh, no.
Yep. So we were running away and you had to slide through this little hole. And at first I wasn't making it at all. So it was me screwed up. But then the second time it was Jake. I would slide through the hole and then he would get caught somewhere and then the guy would kill him. And it was just like, I got through very easily, but he couldn't. And it was like, am I trapped here?
I don't like this at all. This is not, this doesn't sound like my idea of a fun game.
It
sounds
fun.
Very frustrating.
It's sometimes frustrating. Like, I've played way more frustrating mechanically games. It's fine. There are things about it that are definitely weird and possibly rushed, but that's okay. It's a Resident Evil game. And now we're going to move on to Resident Evil 8 whenever that happens. So, yeah.
I'm still going to buy 7 at some point.
Yeah, once again, I love this game because it's literally not scary. Like, there's very little spookiness to it, and that's maybe also why I can play it. Because nothing scares me that much in this game. Like, I maybe a little bit, but it's just, yeah, not really.
No. So, yeah, that was a couple of games that we have been playing.
Yes.
One of these is a Kickstarter game, and we've been looking at a lot of Kickstarter games, actually.
What, we mean Children of Morta?
Children of Morta was the Kickstarter game.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 6 does not need to be Kickstarted,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's like, specify.
And we've been looking at a couple more. One that you had shown me is Kindred Fates, which looks really, really cool.
I had not shown you that. I don't know.
You did show me Kindred Fates, did you not?
No.
Somebody showed me Kindred Fates, and it's a really cool idea where it's kind of like a Pokemon-esque game where you get to run around.
I lied to you. I did show you Kindred Fates. I know exactly what we're talking. Sorry, yeah, it is. Like, it actually does look really cool.
It does.
It looks like a legit, it looks like the Pokemon game that everybody has ever wanted.
This is the one that I've wanted for so long.
Where you basically are the trainer, but you also get to be the Pokemon and attack in real time.
Yeah.
With other Pokemon.
That's what I wanted. That's all I wanted from you, Game Freak. You could have given me this game so long ago and on the Switch, and this is...
Yeah. It does look really, like, I would say it's very bare, like, bare right now,
yeah.
But it's a Kickstarter video, right? Like, this is not a game that, it's probably been in development, but obviously with time and money, it could be something really cool. It looks neat. Like, there's riding aspects, there's flying, there's, like, you can ride in the water. I like the design so far. Like, they're cute. They're kind of reminiscent more of, I want to say, almost a little more Digimon than Pokemon.
And yeah.
So, like, or maybe a really nice combo. Like, that's sort of how it goes.
And it has met its goal. So it's something that we are going to be seeing more of. I believe it is also going to be on the Switch.
Yeah, I think that was one
so
of the goals.
That's a very cool thing for us to keep an eye on.
It also
very
looks closely. Like it has a neat little story as well.
Yeah.
And
these monsters evolve too. So you start off with a little small baby cute thing and then it will eventually get bigger.
It also is sort of like for those Nuzlocke, for those of you who don't know the term, it's basically in Pokemon games where if your Pokemon dies, they die, you don't use them anymore, it's over, you can't bring them back.
So you release them back into the wild, essentially.
Yeah. Or, that's harsh. Anyway.
That is what they do.
Yeah, so that's the term Nuzlocke. So it looks like this has some kind of aspect to that where the characters will die and you can't get them back, or you will have to like do something very specific to get your little Pokemons back,
or just raise it all up again.
Yeah.
It's very much a Monster Rancher situation.
Oh well, in Monster Rancher the monsters died naturally, quote unquote. Like they would this was a harsh thing because I played so much of Monster Rancher 2. Like, me and my brother would scour places for CDs and DVDs to get monsters. And
you spawned some really cool ones.
Well, and then they would eventually die. Like, in the game, like, it didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter. But if you played with that monster, eventually that monster would die.
It would get old and just...
Yeah. It would only last a couple of years, like, in-game years, too. Like, I feel like 2 or 3 was kind of max. And that was kind of the worst part of the game because I had a lot of monsters that I liked, specifically the dinosaurs. So, yeah, I wonder how this will work in Kindred Fates, like, with that. I hope you can get your creatures back, just because, once again, people do have attachments. You know, you're like, I don't want my friends to leave me. Especially in Pokemon. Like, I will never do Nuzlocke because I could never handle that. I could be like, no.
No. So that is one to keep an eye on for. And there's another one come to the Switch called Temtem, which is far more Pokemon-like, but it is essentially a Pokemon MMO. So you're playing with a whole bunch of people on the same...
I have actually heard of Temtem, yeah.
Yes, and it's got everything where you have the catching, you have the people want to duel you, you've got the evolutions, and it does actually use the term evolutions.
Oh, well, it's fine. Evolution is a legit... Like, it's not like Pokemon invented that term. Well, it's not Digivolution,
no.
Right? Like...
But the evolution screens look very, very similar to Pokemon. It's it is essentially a Pokemon game, but in an MMO setting.
That's cool.
So it is another one to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I was going to say also with Kindred Fates, I'm pretty sure you can also battle with other people.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Online.
Yeah.
As well. So there will be a multiplayer aspect to it as well. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to both of those, especially since we're going to go through a bit of a Pokemon drought again soon.
Well, yeah.
Well, we have a couple DLCs.
I guess until summer. What was I going to say? And then the other one I showed you was Chicory, A Colorful Tale, which was kickstarted, but it was recently just picked up by Finji, who have done Night in the Woods and Overland and...
Wander Song and Celeste.
Yeah. Not Celeste. They did not do Celeste.
Did they not also
do? No, you were looking at the trailer and it said that people who worked on Chicory also worked on Celeste. Okay. That's what
I apologize.
Yeah.
But no, that means that there's a huge amount of talent, yes, a lot of professional talent behind this.
Yeah, it looks really cute. Personally, for me, it reminds me of 2D Zelda.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, okay. But basically, it's sort of, it looks like most of it is sort of black and white, but obviously, hence the name, there's color in the title. You play this little dog, I think the dog is named Chicory, and they have a paintbrush, and they do get to use it throughout the world and, like, color things and utilize color to, you know, traverse through this world. There's obviously something wrong. Like, I think there's something where color is fading or evaporating or being taken from this world. It looks really cute. I'm pretty excited to play it. Like, when there is a demo out, I believe, but nothing other than game. But it is, yeah, it was picked up by Finji, which is really cool. And Finji they're really good at producing. Like, they produce some real good games.
A lot of the indie games that have been major hits in the last couple of years have been released by Finji.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, these are a whole bunch of really cool indie games for us to get our hands on.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I want to talk about, because it's a little off the beaten path, Baldur's Gate 3 has been announced, and I guess this is big news for people who are D&D fans, because the people who've done the original Baldur's Gates have been out of action since about 2014.
Yeah.
They just recently re-released Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and a whole bunch of other...
Is that why we're getting a third one?
Yeah, so now that they've released the enhanced versions and Neverwinter Nights, they also did Neverwinter Nights, which I kept talking about. I think I'm going to check this out. It's going to be in beta soon.
Yeah, well, I have heard, like, writers from Baldur's Gate. Actually, they went on to do Dragon Age, like Dragon Age Origins, or they worked... Something or Dragon Age was ripped off from Baldur's Gate. Either or, I'm sort of interested in it. Once again, I'm more of a Dragon Age person, and that's because it has very specific things that I like, not necessarily because I'm interested in the world.
I've been looking for a way to scratch that D&D itch.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to... But not have to roll actual dice.
I'd really love to roll actual dice, but everyone I play D&D with has life happening.
It's true.
So, and that's the unfortunate thing about this, which is really why I want to do this in a video game form.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep my eye on this, and I may pick up the first and second one, because they are on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
They're around the $60 mark right now, so they're...
For both or for one?
For both.
Oh. $30 for each isn't bad.
Yeah, and they're the enhanced version. So I'm going to check it out and come back to you in the future, because this does look very cool and I hear a lot of excellent things about it.
Yeah. So my plan is to maybe finish the one campaign in Resident Evil 6. That's my plan.
We have our homework cut out for us.
Yeah, and then finally get the Kingdom Hearts DLC, and which I've just been putting off not getting.
And then I'm going to be playing some Animal Crossing New Leaf, and I'm going to destroy your town.
Yeah, that's goodbye, my town.
I'll keep the song you want me to keep on there.
Excellent. It's good.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep slapping.